We start, Father God, I thank you for this day that you've made, and we just rejoice. We're glad in it, Lord. We thank you that you are a good God all the time. All the time you are good. And Lord, today I just pray that your manna would come from heaven for us today, a fresh word, something that all of us can receive. We open our hearts, we open our ears and our minds, Lord. We're ready to receive. We prepare ourselves right now, Lord. We've come expecting, and Lord, we're just going to, your word says in Psalms, to open our mouth wide and receive the good things from you. So Lord, right now we just open our spiritual mouths wide, ready to receive your fresh word this morning. And we thank you. We thank you for your truth and your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been around recently, there's been a few sermons that have been preached on the kingdom. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. And it's been really funny. Well, God is, he just does it. The kingdom has been on my heart for a long time. And every time somebody would come up, like, we're going to talk about the kingdom. It's like, okay, God, we're going to talk about the kingdom. And even on Wednesday, Reuben, when he didn't necessarily preach on the kingdom of God, but talking about worship, and that ties in so much. And so we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God, about choosing the kingdom of God today. Recently, on a little bit of a side note, recently I was talking with somebody who was going through a rough time. And I think everybody here has gone through, or maybe is going through, a rough time. You know, she had feelings of rejection, betrayal, hurt, and not just from anybody, but from family, from people that were really close. You know, if you've ever been in that situation or been hurt by people that are really close to you that, you know, in a perfect world shouldn't do those things to you, I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. Just hurt and really, 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 really downtrodden. And as I was talking to her, I was reminded of a scripture in John chapter 15. I'm using the New Living Translation, Mitch. John chapter 15, verses 18, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, and he says, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master, and since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you." Now, she's a Christian, she's a believer, and she was just like, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And, you know, I was reminded of this scripture, and in the message, it says it really neat. It says, if you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. And I shared the scripture with her, and she was really encouraged. She's like, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm not a part of this world. I'm separated. And you know, when we become Christians, a lot of times, you know, the way that it's presented, maybe this sugar-coated, you know, fine and dandy, rose-colored glasses type thing, like you get Jesus and your life just all of a sudden, poof, is perfect. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case. And in many times, it seems like, you know, when we're seeking God, all of a sudden, things just start falling apart in the rest of our life. Our spiritual lives coming together and everything else starts going, you know. And the way we explain to the youth is like, the devil doesn't mess people that aren't a threat to him, you know. And as Christians, when you become a Christian, you get on his bad side. You get on his bad list. And when you serve God, it's like you're putting up a little thing. Like, the more that we become a threat to him, the more he tries to mess with us. But the good thing about God is that we have so many promises that we can rely on, that we can stand on. But taking that and putting it into a kingdom perspective, when you're born into a country, you're automatically a citizen of that country, right? So if you're born here, you know, regardless of where your parents are born, if you're born here, you're a United States citizen. If you're born, you know, somewhere else, you're a citizen of that country. Christians, it's kind of a funny thing. We're born on this earth, but we're not of this earth. We're not part of this world. If you want to take it in kind of a funny sense, you know, we're not earthlings. You could say we're aliens. The Bible says that we're not part of this world. When we become born again, we literally change our citizenship. Is when we become born again, we no longer belong to this world, but we belong to the kingdom of heaven. We belong to the King. So we change our citizenship. And in John chapter 17, so if we're still in John, we just go a couple chapters over, verses 14 through 16, it says, "I have given them your word," this is Jesus talking, "and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world." We just talked about that. "Just as I do not belong to the world, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one." This is Jesus praying. "They do not belong to this world any more than I do." Jesus didn't belong to this world. We know that. You know, he was the Son of God. He came down. You know, the scripture says that he was, you know, the Son of God. He came down, but he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. I mean, if anybody didn't belong to this world, it was Jesus. It's perfection, the Son of God. And the Bible says that we were created in his image. We were created in the image of God. And we're children of God too. And so we don't belong to this world. And you feel it. As Christians, I mean, you can hardly watch any shows on TV anymore. I mean, and the news, and it's just all over. There's so many things that are just yuck. And it's like, we're not a part of that. We're called to transform the world, to be changers, but not to become part of it. That's right. So, so we are not of this world. This world is not our home. It's not our goal. Jesus didn't belong here, and neither do we. But did he separate himself? Did he think of himself like, oh, I'm better than everybody. I'm going to go sit on the tip of the mountain, and if you want to talk to me, you can come see me. No, that's not how Jesus' attitude was. He knew he wasn't a part of this world, but yet he immersed himself in it and shared the kingdom to draw people in, to transform their lives. So we're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says that, that we're citizens of heaven just waiting to be with Jesus. Can we put that up there? Philippians 3:20. "But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior." The Voice version of the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven, and it literally says we're exiles on this earth, eagerly waiting for our Liberator, our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, to come. We're not part of this world. We belong to the King, and we're part of the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? We've been talking about that. Calvin and had a really good message on the kingdom recently. And there's a scripture that has just been ringing in my heart. It's just been coming up over and over and over again. The kingdom of God. Let's turn to Romans 14. So Romans chapter 14, verse 17, this is a scripture that a lot of us have heard. So if you're kind of like me, sometimes you read the Bible and maybe you don't get it. Anybody read the Bible and like, I don't get it, you know, and it's, you're not the only one. And if you ever feel that way, don't worry about it. There were people in the Bible that prayed for understanding. There was a guy that Paul ran into on the road. He was reading the word and he was like, I don't understand what I'm reading, and how am I going to get it if nobody explains it to me? And he was able to help him and, you know, read about it. It's pretty cool. But sometimes I don't understand what I'm reading. And to me, it's like, God, I just want a literal definition. I just want to know, like, black and white, tell me what it is. And Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for those of you that like literal translation, says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom? King James Version says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. There's a song that I remember when I was growing up that would come on the radio. I won't sing it, but it said righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And then it goes, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want? I said I wasn't going to sing. Sorry. But you know, don't we want to be a part of that kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So if you want a literal definition, you know, Calvin had been talking about how the kingdom of God isn't a physical place. Like, we can't go and book an airline ticket to, I'm going to the kingdom of God. No, I mean, it's in us. It's in us. We are the kingdom. We get to go to heaven, and obviously that's a part of the kingdom, but it's in us. We're a part of that kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it's living by God's power. The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. And in this world, there's a lot of just blah, 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 blah. You know, just talk, 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 talk. No action. All talk, no action. The kingdom of God is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is having righteousness, peace, and joy, and letting those things flow out of us. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. The Pharisees, Sadducees, religious people, you know, we read about them in the New Testament, the pious people, the guys. They were the people that, quote unquote, lived right. They, quote unquote, dressed right. They talked right. They ate right. They did everything by the book. But they didn't have the kingdom. They didn't have the kingdom. And why was that? The kingdom isn't just talk, it's living. The kingdom requires kingdom living. We can't, you know, live in this country but follow the rules of Japan or China. If we're in a country, we follow the rules and laws of that country. So when we're in the kingdom of God, we need to follow the rules and laws of this of our country, of our kingdom. And what are those? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. So it's not just talk, it's a lifestyle. We've all heard that saying, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. It's the same with the kingdom of God. It's not just talking about this like, oh, you need to do that and blah, you know. It's not just talking down to people. I mean, well, we shouldn't do that at all. It's living. It's living the power of God, letting it flow out through us. Jesus lived the kingdom. If anybody did it, he did it. Jesus lived a kingdom lifestyle. He was righteousness. He brought peace and joy. We are called to live the kingdom. So we all know our Father. I originally grew up Catholic, and if you did too, you know the Our Father. And in that, Jesus is praying. He says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus prayed for the kingdom to come. So if he prayed for it to come, then obviously it's not everywhere. The kingdom, like I said, kingdom of heaven. So obviously, you know, the kingdom is working in heaven. Jesus said, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already being done in heaven. He told the people over and over again, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because he was living the kingdom and he was inviting everybody to hop on board. Like, come on, come on, come and live the kingdom. It's right here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's available to you. Come and hop on. Take it, live it, share it. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. You know, I always wondered what that meant. Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, righteousness, peace, and joy is available to you today. Righteousness, peace, and joy is available to you right here, right now. That's the kingdom. So when he says that, you know, I always, it, take the literal definition and you can insert it where it is. And so when he would say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you could say that he was saying righteousness, peace, and joy are at hand. They're available to you. So we Christians, the church, are called to bring heaven to earth. He said, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're called to bring heaven to earth, to bring the kingdom, to bring righteousness, peace, and joy to people. Calvin had mentioned in his sermon, he said, get rid of the long face or people won't believe. Get rid of the long faces or people won't believe. You know, so many times we see, you know, religious people and it's like, you know, don't talk to me, don't look at me, blah, blah, I'm better than you. Like, that's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. That's not the way that the church was designed to be. That's not our Jesus. Our Jesus was for everybody. And so, you know, if we don't have joy, we aren't demonstrating a vital aspect of the kingdom. If we don't have joy, if we don't have peace, we're not demonstrating the kingdom, okay? So I've been watching, if you have Netflix, if you're like me, sometimes you get into a show and then you just kind of want to cruise through the whole thing. So I've been watching this show on traveling and eating abroad and the different foods that are everywhere, and my gosh, makes you hungry. But anyways, this guy is going to all these different countries, and some of them are friendly and some of them are not so friendly. And, you know, there's some, I just watched one on Peru and I was like, oh, I want to go to Peru. And then there was another country that he went to and I was like, ooh, I don't think I ever want to go there. Would you want to go to a country where people hated it, where people hated living there, where they were trying to escape, trying to get out, like, oh, I want to go there? No, you want to go to a country where people are happy, where they're friendly, where they have good food, where they have, you know, pretty scenery. And it's the same with us. If we're trying to get people to get into our kingdom, like, hey, you need to get some citizenship over here, you know, and if we're walking around like, you know, who wants to come to that country? Nobody. If we're full of anger, if we're full of fear and anxiety, and we're like, hey, come to church, and like, I mean, it sounds like you need to go some more. You know, if we're trying to get people over on our side, we got to be demonstrating what we have. And our kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if we're just worrying and complaining all the time, and then we're wondering why, you know, like, well, I invite people to church and nobody wants to ever go. Nobody ever wants to go with me. It's like, well, what are you demonstrating? What are we demonstrating? We got to make them want what we got. So if our posts on Facebook need to match what's actually coming out of our mouth, you know, I see a lot of things on Facebook, and I'm not knocking Facebook, okay? I'm not like, delete Facebook or whatever. I have Facebook. But it seems like some people, and nobody here, obviously, nobody here. But there are some people who just, like, they just post scripture, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, I know you in real life, and you're not living that. Which is sad. It's sad. It's like, you know, and they'll post, like, inspirational quotes and these pictures that, you know, are just so beautiful and have scripture on them. And like, oh, I want to share that. But when I say talk the talk, has got to match your walk, that also means your online social media stuff too. Because, I mean, we talk to people more online than we do in real life anyways, between texting and Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all kinds of stuff. So we need to match what we're actually living with what we're, you know, our walk has got to match our talk is what I'm trying to get at, and I'm preaching to myself too, okay, and doing and preparing for this lesson. If you've ever been there doing a study, it's painful sometimes. The Bible is painful. It describes it as a two-edged sword that cuts between joint and marrow. I mean, it's sometimes we got to deal with some stuff, and it's not always easy, and it's not always pleasant, but it's to make us better. It's to make us better and to get us to the kingdom. So in anything that I'm saying, remember I have three fingers pointing back at me, and we're all in this together, so praise God, he's good. So it's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. So people tend to focus, so if the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy, three parts. To me, in thinking about this and preparing for this, it seemed to me like people tend to focus on the righteous part and forget peace and joy. Religious people, you know, it's all about what are you doing? Like, it's about the rules, and it's about, you know, you walk the line, and if you get off the line, then, you know, you're a horrible person, and you're not saved, and you're just awful, and whatever. I mean, and we forget the peace and joy. Righteous, I looked it up, Webster's Dictionary. If you ever, you know, are needing to define something, use Webster, Merriam-Webster. He's a good old boy. He defines righteous as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. I'm gonna read that again. So righteous is defined as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. So if we're free from guilt and sin, shouldn't we have joy? If we're living true righteousness, it's going to produce joy. The kind of kingdom righteousness produces joy. It produces peace because we get to live in accordance with our King, free from guilt and sin. That's our kingdom. In our kingdom, it's not this, you know, I'm going to squish you under my boot heel thing. No, God says, come on up, come on up. Let's walk. We got to go. Get up off the floor. Let's go. He's calling us to be more than conquerors, not to focus on all the junk that's behind us that we did, you know, 5 minutes ago. He's saying, come on, righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom is at hand for you right now. Get up. Let's go. So We gotta have joy. We gotta have joy. It's not rules that sets us apart from other religions. Because other religions have more than rules than we do, and they do it better. So if we want to play that whole, like, rules game, I mean, there are some, I mean, if you look at Muslims, they're devout. It doesn't matter if they're in an airport or if they're in a park. I mean, if it's time to bow down and do whatever, it doesn't matter where they are, they do it. But we're not talking about rules. It's the relationship. It's the relationship that sets us apart. It's the relationship. True righteousness leads directly to peace and joy because true righteousness comes from a relationship with Jesus. True righteousness comes from a relationship with Jesus because the closer we get to him, the more we become like him. And the more we become like him, the more we fall away from all those stupid things that we used to do. The Pharisees, we talked about them, you know, the religious guys, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and all those guys, they were righteous, but they weren't right. They were following all their rules and all their regulations and how dare you carry your mat on the Sabbath and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, they had their rules, but they were in rebellion. They didn't believe. They chose not to believe. They persecuted the church. They murdered Jesus. I mean, God worked it all out, obviously, but they were in rebellion. And there was a sermon that I heard on the radio that said something really interesting. The guy said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion because there's no drive. Why? It's not rules that makes us righteous. It's the relationship. It's the relationship because if all we needed was rules, we wouldn't have needed Jesus anyways. We had the law. I mean, we could have just lived by that 600 or however many rules there were. But Scripture says many times in the New Testament that our obedience to God, it proves our love. Our love, when we have a relationship with him, our love grows. And that just makes us want to please him. I mean, if you have a significant other in your life, or a family member, or a best friend, or anybody that you have a close relationship with, you don't want to hurt them. You just want to please them. You want to make them happy. You want to do nice things for them. Like, hey, I thought about you, baked you some cookies. Here you go. I mean, like, when you really care about someone, you just want to make them happy. You just want to do things for them. And when we're close to God, our love grows, and that just produces the righteousness that we need to live by anyways. So it's not the rules that drives us, because who wants to live by a bunch of rules? It's the love. It's the love. Excuse me. So when we love God, we have a relationship. Doing right just becomes easier and easier because we're just becoming more and more like him. Because we can't spend time with him and not become like him. I mean, I have a 2-year-old. And so we are in the I'm going to watch the same movie 100 times stage, okay? Anybody been there? All right. So we have, like, the same 5 movies that Sophia wants to watch. And every once in a while, I get to, like, slip in, like, a new one. Like, oops, I put in this DVD by mistake. And the other day, we were watching The Lorax. If you've ever seen The Lorax, it's a cute movie. But there was something really interesting how, I mean, God can speak to you in any way. I mean, God used a donkey to talk to people in the Bible. I mean, it's like, okay, God, he's like, here's your donkey. Here's the movie. Listen. But there was something that was said in the movie, and it said, the Lorax was talking to the guy, and he said, which direction does a tree fall? And the guy was like, down, or whatever he said. And he said, the way it leans. A tree falls the way it leans. So if we're leaning on God, when we get cut down, we're just going to fall in his direction. When we're leaning on God, it doesn't matter if, you know, the enemy tries to cut us down. Because Jesus said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, just that they would be protected from the enemy. When we're leaning on God, when we're just, God, I can't do it. I just need you. I just need you. And that moment where we feel like we just get cut down, what direction are we going to fall? God. We're going to fall on him. But if we're leaning on other things, things that really can't hold us up, which direction are we going to fall? So we can't forget peace and joy as part of the kingdom. We can't forget it. We can't forget it. So think of it this way. So we know the Trinity, right? We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom translates directly into the Trinity. Father God, so we could say righteousness, because God is righteousness himself. He is right in every possible way. He makes no mistakes. He is holiness. So we have the second part, Jesus, the Son, who is our peace. The word describes him as a Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He is our peace because of what he did. You know, when I was reading in the word, it was talking about when they pierced his side and the blood and water poured out. That was our hope and our peace that poured out of him. The blood that made us right with God. He is our peace. And then we have the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit, who is our joy. Who is our joy? The word says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When Elizabeth went and she was pregnant and she saw Mary, the word says that the Holy Spirit came inside her and filled her, and her baby leaped for joy inside of her. When we have the Holy Spirit, we get filled with joy. We have joy. So the kingdom is the Trinity. We can't focus on God and forget the Son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, we cry blasphemy when there are religions like, how can you live and believe in God and not believe in Jesus? Or how can you have Jesus and forget the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the same with us, with the kingdom. We can't just be trying to live by these rules and forget about peace and joy. It's a package deal. It comes together. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We need them all. They're all one. It's good. It's good for us. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. So we got to seek the kingdom. Okay, so Jesus said, may your kingdom come. So that doesn't mean, I mean, we know that God is everywhere, okay? So we know that God is everywhere. You know, he doesn't just pick which church service to go to, like, oh, today I'm going to Faith Ministries, but next Sunday I'm going to go wherever. God is everywhere. You know, his spirit is everywhere. But there are places in the world where the kingdom is not moving, okay? That's what I'm saying. It's not that God is not able to move there, but it is not actively working at this moment. You know, obviously there are countries where there are horrible things going on. If you watch the news, you know about it. I mean, horrible, horrible things. There are, sadly, I mean, parts, that's why Jesus said, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth. That's where we get charged. And he said to seek the kingdom, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 says, and don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Verse 31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Let's read 32. This is good too. It says, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. So not only is God saying, look after, go for it, go find it. He's saying, I'll be happy to give it to you. I'm happy to give it to you. It's here for you. You can have as much as you want. You just got to come get it. You just got to come get it. Our God isn't, he doesn't force himself on us. You know, we have free will. We all know about that. That's why, you know, we make mistakes and whatever, because God loves us enough to give us a choice. He wanted us to come to him out of love, not out of, you know, of forcing us to. So he says, seek the kingdom above all else, and he will give you everything you need. I like how it says, don't worry. I mean, people all over the world are worrying about stuff, worrying about, you know, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. So basically physical things, physical things. It says, don't worry, seek the kingdom. So he's telling us to seek righteousness, peace, and joy. Whatever you need, he wants to give you. So if we need health, God wants to give it to us. If we need peace, God wants to give it to us. If we need restoration, God wants to give it to us. Whatever you need, God wants to give it to you. He just says, seek him, and everything that you need is just going to fall in line. Okay? So if you're living right, and if we're living the kingdom, so that means we're living right and we have peace and joy, that kind of just, you know, it just catches everything. Because if we have peace, we're not going to be worrying about stuff. If we have joy, we're not going to be depressed, and we're not going to be, you know, and so then what happens? And he will give you everything that you need. But to me, it's like, what else do you need that doesn't include peace and joy? You know, and so things will be good. Things will be good. Not saying perfect, but we're leaning on him, right? So we would fall in his direction. He said, he'll give you everything that you need. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Okay, so I'm telling you, you know, about the kingdom, that you need it. What do we need to do? Answers. You know, that same situation that I was talking about at the beginning of the sermon, that the woman who was really downtrodden about some stuff, and she's like, you know, all they did was talk and nobody gave me any answers. No solution. Let's just talk about the problem, but nobody ever comes up with a solution. And, okay, so it's like, okay, we're talking about this. What's the solution? What's the answer? We got to get hungry. We got to be hungry. We got to be hungry. So before Jesus, we know about if you read the Old Testament, we know about the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, and we've done studies on that. And there was this curtain, okay? So if you don't know, it was the place, the Holy of Holies, where God's Spirit dwelled, where he was, okay? And so that is the Holy of Holies. That's the place where, that is perfection. If you want to go to a perfect place, that would be where you would need to go. But there was a curtain that divided us and God because we were not perfect. We're messed up. I mean, if you read in the Old Testament, there was horrible things that got done. There was a curtain, but when Jesus came, when he died, says that when he breathed his last, the curtain tore in two in the temple. And so it's saying now the veil is torn. Now we have unlimited access to God. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are available to us now with unlimited access. Unlimited access. It's not some quota like, okay, you only get 5 minutes in the Spirit today and that is it because we're on a shortage. No, we get unlimited access with God. It's like, if you're in youth group, we've said this a couple times before, but it's like a spiritual buffet, okay? We have a spiritual buffet laid out before us. How many of you have ever been to a buffet, like buffets? Yes. If you ever go to Las Vegas, if you're ever there, I will tell you there is one at the Rio that is a seafood buffet. If you like seafood, like I do, check it out if you just happen to be there. But I'm just saying, I like buffets, and I like the variety, and it's just, it's good. So the example that we use with the youth group is, you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and why do you need the Spirit? Why do you need to speak in tongues? And it's like, okay, so pretend that God has this buffet, okay, and he's inviting everybody. He says, come and eat, come and be filled, come and drink, you know, come get what you need, basically. And so imagine if you went to this buffet and there's every type of food in the world, your favorite stuff, I mean, desserts, fried things, seafood, anything that you could imagine is there. And you go to this buffet and you head straight to the salad and that's all you eat. I'm not knocking salad. I love salad. But if you're at a buffet, you don't go to just sit at the salad bar and pick at lettuce. I mean, you go to stuff your gut. I'm sorry. You wear stretchy pants when you go to a buffet. You're not going to go and like, you know, when you go to a buffet because you're ready to eat. Okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. When nobody's looking, you're like, you know, and unbutton your butt. Anyways. So you go to a buffet when you're hungry. You can go to a buffet and eat the salad. I mean, you can get full off a salad, but why? Why would you do that? And it's the same people. It's the same. We say, guys, the Holy Spirit is there for you. You can go to heaven without speaking in tongues. But why? Why would you want to? I mean, it's like over and over, the word says that they were filled with the Spirit. So the Spirit fills us up. I mean, when you don't even know what to say, when you're in the mud, your face is full of dirt, and you're like, God, I don't even know what to say. The word says, cry out to God in the Spirit because your spirit knows what to pray, even when you don't. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but the Spirit's good. It's good. We go to a buffet to eat. We don't go just to sit and munch off the salad. And God has given us all access. He's given us all access. I mean, if you read about it, we're going to get to go to a buffet, really, because when we get to heaven, it says it's going to be a feast. It's going to be a feast. We're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So back to the buffets. You don't go when you're on a diet. You don't go if you're fasting or whatever, like, hey, guys, let's go. You know, that's dumb. But the world, if you think about it, is spiritually fasting, spiritually starving itself. It has access to the buffet and it's choosing not to, okay? Because everybody, salvation was for everybody. He poured out his blood for all man. It's up to us to make the choice to dine with him, to eat what he's laid out for us. So the world is starving. What happens when you get hungry? You get cranky. You get cranky poor Sonia, she's not here to defend herself. But we always knew when Sonia was hungry because all of a sudden she would just like, hey, Sonia, what? And I'm like, oh, God, go eat a cookie or something. Like, something's wrong. You know, or you've been in that place where you're working all day and you're hungry and your patience is just a little bit shorter that day when you're hungry, okay? My dad, my nana would always make fun of my dad because, you know, he would start to get grouchy and she'd be in the kitchen with my mom like, go feed him, give him something, you know, just what you can't function well if you're hungry. So why are we taking advice from a world that is starving and hungry and cranky and full of worry, full of depression? Why are we taking our advice from them when we have a God who is full? He's got all the food. He's saying, come, come and eat. Come and eat, come and be filled. So we're taking advice from people that, there's a picture online that was floating around and I had seen it on Pinterest a few times. Sorry, Pinterest, I like it. But anyways, it was a little picture, one of those little e-cards, and it says, you know, like, don't talk to me about your diet, just sit there, eat your salad and be sad, or whatever. It said something like that. And it's like, okay, so It's the same with us. We're taking advice from people. It's like, I don't want to, I got all access here. We have all access to a buffet that was opened up 2,000 years ago, and it's free. I mean, why? If going to that seafood buffet, Mitch, how much was it per person? It was like $85, something ridiculous. I mean, it was, I think that it was worth it. But, I mean, we're invited to go to an all-access buffet that's free. It's free. I mean, and it fills you up. He says, come, all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. He said, I am the bread of life. Come and be filled. Come and be filled. That's our kingdom. Our kingdom isn't full of hunger and, you know, they're not, we're not in famine. Our kingdom is not in famine, regardless of what the economy in this world and whatever everybody says. Our God is, he is full. He is full. He is abundance. So Ephesians 5:8 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit. It fills you. It fills you. Matthew 5:6, the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger, and they will be filled. We got to get hungry. We got to get hungry. We can't be at the buffet and like, well, I already ate. I mean, have you ever been to you go and eat with somebody like, well, I ate already. It's like, why are you here? I mean, I'm hungry. I wanted us to be pigs together. Like, why are you, you know... I mean, you know, blessed are those who hunger, for they shall be filled, okay? Blessed are the hungry. We got to get hungry, hungry. The word says in Matthew 7:7, it says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So how many of you have ever, okay, well, let me just say this. If you're hungry, you're going to find something to eat. In my house... before I got pregnant with Noah, I had decided to eat right and got rid of a lot of junk in the house. And there were times that all of a sudden it would be like, I just wanted like a piece of chocolate or a cookie, like so bad. And when you're at that point, if you've ever, I know I'm not the only one, but you're hungry, you have that craving, you will look in the back of your freezer for that piece of chocolate that's been there since last Halloween that got shoved back, open it, well, scrape off the freezer burn, and you'll, I mean, if you're at that point, you're going to find something in your house that will satisfy that craving. It doesn't matter if you're going to go stick your finger in the sugar and just start, like, whatever. You're going to find something that's going to satisfy your craving. We got to get our craving mustered up for God so that whatever happens, we're going to reach to the back of the freezer and start dipping our finger like, I don't care if I don't have my Bible. I'm just going to be praying because God, I just need, we got to get hungry. We got to get hungry for our God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We got to let our craving get up for God and let go of all that junk that we've been, I mean, taking advice from people that are starving anyways. I don't want to be taking advice from somebody who's, I mean, malnourished, telling me how to eat. That's stupid. I mean, I mean, if you want to know how to cook, where do you go? I mean, who do you get advice from? From some like skinny, tiny person or somebody who knows how to eat? They are the ones who know how to cook, okay? I mean, chefs, I like chefs. I like cooking shows, okay? So some of the best chefs are the ones you can tell are obviously they enjoy cooking. And nothing wrong with that. I love good food. But we gotta get hungry. We gotta get hungry and we gotta enjoy eating with our God who has given us everything, everything, everything. We don't have to live off the salad bar. We don't have to just sit there and like, you know, the crumbs. I mean, we got all access, all access. So how do we do that? How do we do it? We got to decide in our heart to do it. Decide to seek. You got to make the decision, the life choice. You know, on the Oprah show, she would say you have that aha moment. You know, all of a sudden, if you ever watch those shows, you know, there's like The Biggest Loser and like all these things. You see people that make major life decisions is because all of a sudden it just clicked. It clicked. Something inside them clicked and they made the conscious decision to change their life. I was talking to a friend of mine at work whose mom smoked for many, many years. And he said, yeah, my mom used to smoke, but it was real funny. It's kind of cliche. You know, one day she saw this commercial, and I was like 8 or 9 years old or something. And it was a commercial, one of those anti-smoking commercials. And it was like a little boy and my age you know, his mom had died from smoking, and he was sitting there crying, like, "Mom, why did you leave me?" or whatever. And he said, "Yeah, when she saw that commercial, it just clicked, and she stopped smoking." There is an aha moment. We need to have the aha moment where, you know, we need to decide. We got to stop messing around and decide. I'm gonna get hungry. I'm gonna get hungry. I'm gonna seek God. I'm gonna go after Him, because we've all been on that yo-yo, and I've been there. Like I said, I got three fingers pointing back at me, that yo-yo thing. I mean, if you've ever been on diets or tried to lose weight, I mean, that's a huge, huge business, billions of dollars people spend on losing weight and diet stuff or whatever. And you know, the get-rich-quick schemes, like the lose weight fast, like, oh, you eat only 200 calories a day and you have to drink grape juice 5 times a day and you're going to lose 20 pounds. Like, yeah, but it's not the healthy way. We see so many people that yo-yo. I myself have done that, you know. But they're the people, you see the people like on Biggest Loser or, you know, people on Weight Watchers that have dropped like 150 pounds or like whole people, you know, like an entire person. They made a decision to change their lifestyle, not their moment, not their emergency situation, but you'll hear them say, "My lifestyle changed." And a lot of times we do that with God. We want the emergency panic get rich quick scheme with God, like, okay, I need him right now. But the kingdom is a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A lifestyle. We gotta live it. We gotta lean. It didn't say a dead tree. It was a tree that was growing and living, but leaning. Okay? So we got to lean on God and continue to grow and to live. It's a life. It's a life living on the King. So last one, joy. The word says in Ecclesiastes 5:8, if you're following the daily reading, we were just there a little while ago. And King Solomon said in 5:18 to accept your lot in life and enjoy it. Accept your lot in life and enjoy it. So basically, find happiness where you are. Find it where you are. Choose to live where you are, and God will continue to take you places. If you think about it, Joseph and his brothers, I mean, his brothers were the tribes of Israel, like the 12 tribes that we read about. They messed up. They tried to sell him. I mean, they did. They beat him up and they sold him into slavery. So even good people mess up sometimes, okay? But he chose to live well wherever he was, and God continued to elevate him and take him places. Daniel and his friends, when they were thrown into prison, they didn't just sit there and woe is me and I'm going to wallow and die. You know, maybe they had a moment of that, but the Bible doesn't talk about that. It says that they prospered because they lived where they were, and God took them to better places. So if we want to be elevated to better places, we got to be happy where we are first, live right where we are, and God will do it. He is the escalator, okay? He will take us. So accept our lot in life and find happiness where we are. Happiness is a choice. Paul said in the New Testament that he said, I've learned to live with almost nothing and with everything. So wherever we are, whether we have a lot or a little, we got to live. We got to live and we got to find joy. I don't care if it's in a butterfly that flies past your window in the morning or whatever. Find joy where we are and God will bless you and take you to where you want to go. Seek the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Live where you are and God will bless you and elevate you to the places that he wants you to go. And that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. Yes. So wherever we are, make the decision to live your life and be happy. Make the decision, the conscious choice. You know, I don't care if I don't have this or that, or I, you know, just live where you are and God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you what you need. So choose to seek the kingdom, choose righteousness, peace, and joy. All three, not leaving any out, righteousness, peace, and joy. Living right with God, being peaceful, resting, leaning on him, and being joy. I looked up joy. It's like I thought it was going to be like some philosophical, like joy, you know, whatever. I don't know. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. I do that all the time. And I was like wanting some this like profound thing, like I'm going to give them the definition of joy and their minds just go, bah. No, the definition of joy is literally means a state of happiness. That's it. So basically, God just wants us to be happy, be happy, be happy. We can find a million things to complain about. It's easy. It's easy. And if you don't have 1,000 things you can complain about, come sit by me. You know, well, I'll give you some. But we got to find the joy where we are. Accept our lot in life and enjoy it. And God will elevate us. So a couple scriptures to close with that just kind of add into this. One that Reuben shared that was really awesome. Isaiah 3:10. Isaiah said, it shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. It's a promise. So all these scriptures, if you're seeking God and the devil's trying to kick you in the teeth, I mean, you can just stare on it. Isaiah 3:10, it will be well with the righteous. So whatever you're going to do, it's going to be well with me because I'm righteous, I'm God's, I'm a part of the kingdom, it's well. You know, we know that song, it is well with my soul. That's me, that's you. It will be well with the righteous. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So there's a scripture, and it escaped my mind at this moment where it is, but it says in the New Living Translation, it says, for search for peace and work to maintain it. That's hard. That's hard, especially when people around you aren't necessarily the most peaceful or peace-loving people. Honesty, you know, it's where, like Jesus said, we're part of this world, we don't belong to it. But we gotta search for peace and work to maintain it. Blessed are the peacemakers. So if it's not in your workplace or if it's not in your house, make it in your house. If it's not there in your work, make it. You know, we're supposed to take the kingdom out to where it's needed. Not just stay in the church where we're happy and everything's great and la la la. I mean, we gotta take it out to where it's needed. So we got to be peacemakers. And then Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Righteousness, peace, and joy are available to you, to me, all of us today in an unlimited all-access portion. You can go back and get seconds, hundreds, thousands, whatever you need. It's there. It's there. So we got to choose the kingdom. That's what God had on my heart. I hope that it blessed you. I mean, God, he is a good God. He is an all-access God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom. We thank you for the kingdom. Let's just lift our hands and let's just be a little hungry, a little unashamed right now. God, we are hungry for you right now. We're not going to say that we're already full. Lord, we're saying we're hungry. We want more. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God. And we're going to your buffet. We're going to your table and we're hungry. We're ready to eat. We're wearing our stretchy pants. We're going to get full. We're going to fill up on you, God. We're not just going to be here and just sitting and eating crumbs. We want more of you. You, God, more, 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 more. Your word says, blessed are those who hunger, for they shall be filled. And Lord, your word says that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. So we're not just going to fill up, but we're going to flow out. We receive and we give out, Lord. So right now, God, we just give you our hearts. We give you our hearts, God. We say we're yours. We're yours. We're part of the kingdom. We're part of the kingdom. And if you haven't changed your citizenship, maybe you're trying to have dual citizenship in this world and the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. We got to take one choice. The word says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day life and death. And Jesus is the bread of life. So choose life. Lord, we choose you today. We choose you. If there's anybody here this morning that needs prayer for anything, if you haven't given your heart over to God and you want to do it today, I invite you to come. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. The kingdom is poured out in an unlimited portion today. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Lord, we worship your holy name. We worship your holy name. Hallelujah. Just let your heart praise him. Just begin to pray to him. Just begin to talk to him. Don't just stand there. Connect right now. Connect your heart with him. Just let yourself be.